John chapter 18, verses 12 to 27. Verse 12. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. That last verse is parenthetic. Verse 15. Simon Peter followed Jesus, so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciple? And he said, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. They warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I speak openly to the world, I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. When he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. I'll be pointing out that the Revised Version with most other translations will simply translate that. Now Annas sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Then said they therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Our God will bless his word. As we follow the steps of the Lord Jesus, on the darkest night in human history, we'll have before us tonight, in this short paragraph, two men. We'll see displayed the wickedness of a sinner, and yet we'll see revealed the weakness of a saint in this dark night. We have followed with bowed heart what our brother has presented to us, the arrest in the garden that would have taken place sometime around midnight. Now, before 9 o'clock in the morning, a cross will stand on the hill of a skull, the place of a skull, John calls it, and identifies it, Golgotha. This is the dark night of human history, when the Son of God is going to be put on a cross of shame. Three things about the arrest, just to summarize, draw attention to what our brother said. That arrest was, in fact, illegal. It was illegal according to Sanhedrin law. Arrests could not be effected by night. That's down. It was not only illegal, unscriptural. Scripture in Exodus 34 makes it perfectly plain that no arrest was to be effected on the word of a paid informer. There's a man standing there, clutching his little bag with 30 pieces of silver. He sold the Savior. That arrest, illegal, unscriptural, contrary to natural justice, because his accusers are there. That shouldn't be. You'll notice that our brother Jim said there were Gentiles there. I believe that. That's correct. The band, the cohort, under their officer, was there. But the officers of the Jews were there. The temple guard was there. And Luke tells us the elders were there. So you can see, illegal, unscriptural, contrary to every facet of natural justice. He's arrested. This is going to mark the rest of his arraignment as they move to deal with his case. In these short hours before he hangs upon Calvary's dark cross, I'm going to suggest to you, as you put scripture to scripture, that the Lord Jesus had six trials. That may surprise, that may startle. I think that's the only answer. I'm going to suggest to your heart that he had three religious trials, and he had three civil trials. He had three religious trials, and we are going to deal with the one that John deals with, because it's not dealt with in the other gospel. John, remember, is writing 60 years after the event and has the other writings before him. And he's writing to remind our hearts that the Lord Jesus stood before the high priest. And it will be my suggestion to you, you can ponder it and examine it, that the high priest in this case is Annas. And I will give you, I trust, enough to convince you. Trial number one before Annas. We'll see the reason for it in a moment. That's while Caiaphas is assembling enough of the Sanhedrin to form a quorum to deal with the king. And the first trial is before Annas. The second trial is before Caiaphas. That trial is recorded in the Synoptic Gospel. And you have detail after detail of what happened before Caiaphas.
And they're not the same details as you have in John. That's a supporting evidence for the trial before Anna. Then the trial before Caiaphas, Matthew 26, verses 57 to 75, will give you the full detail of that trial. But now, this is still in the dark hours of night. There's something that yet has to be done. And it's so easy to miss this. And that's the third trial. What's the third trial? The third trial is the trial that has to take place after the dawn, after morning light. And that has to be before the full council. The whole Sanhedrin has to be gathered. And the case has to be presented. And the sentence passed. And if you look very carefully at Matthew 27 and verse 1, it says, they took counsel. That's in the whole council. Mark 15 and verse 1 says, when the morning was come, the whole council gathered together. Luke 22 and verse number 66 to 71 says, as soon as it was day, you see, they waited for the dawn. They wanted a semblance of legality. And they knew it would be totally, absolutely illegal in their system to pronounce sentence in the nighttime. They waited for the dawn. So there's three trials. The malice of Ananias, the prejudice of a Caiaphas, and the wickedness of a nation, reflected in the united testimony to put him to a cross. Three religious trials will come as we move through these evenings. We'll come to the three civil trials. We'll see in the rest of John chapter 18 that there's a trial before Pilate, the first trial. What happened? I find no fault in him. He's vindicated. No charge, no condemnation, no reason to condemn him. Set him free. But there's a coward in the chair. Cowardice in a pilot. He won't do it. He sees a way out. We'll go through this in detail tomorrow night. But the second trial is before Pilate. I'm sorry, before Herod. He sends him off to Herod. Do you know what happened there? Herod makes a joke of the one who stands before him. And he's sent back to Pilate. John 19 will give you the third trial, the third civil trial, and the last one. What's Pilate's decision? I find no fault in him. Pilate, set him free. If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. It's a political issue now. And we'll see how Pilate handled that. We'll see how he sends this blessed one. He sends him to Calvary's cross. We'll see what he meant by the hand washing. Didn't mean exactly what we normally take that to mean. There's another meaning behind the hand washing of Pilate. That must have spoken to the Jewish people who viewed it. But the ultimate result of all the trials is never in doubt. He's going to die. I want to put to your heart three simple things. to explain why I believe this is the trial before Annas, let me talk to you of the person. Annas was an old man at this stage. Very old man. But he was the power behind the throne, we would say, in Jerusalem. He was had been an ambitious, arrogant, avaricious man. It's coming to his last case. He had been high priest 20 years before this, and he'd held the post for between 5 and 6 years. Then Rome said, "That's enough. That's too important a position. You wield too much power." Oh, but the Jews came back and said, "The high priesthood is for life. Not with us. You resign." Annas did resign. But he moved his sons, one after another, 5 of them, into the post of high priest. They had succeeded each other. He had maneuvered the politics to make sure the family still held power. And then, when the sons had finished, he brought his son-in-law, Caiaphas, to fill the same post. Didn't want the power to slip away. An arrogant, ambitious, avaricious man. That's the person. That's why, in this passage, he's called the high priest. He's also called the high priest in Luke 22. You look at it carefully. Annas and Caiaphas being high priests that same year. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 6. Annas, the high priest. There's no problem with that. He is the power in Jerusalem. That's why the Lord was taken to him first. When this band of soldiers plus the temple officers and the elders of the people arrested Jesus, he's brought to the high priest's palace. But on one side of the courtyard was the apartments of Annas, the other side the apartments of Caiaphas. The middle, the open courtyard, the gate out to the street, and the fire in the middle, convenient to each side of the quadrangle. That's the picture. And here's the man. Why are they bringing him to Annas, the person and the place? Why are they taking them to the high priest's palace? Well, they have got to formulate a charge. Caiaphas knows that he has got to get this decision, this action, through first the Sanhedrin. Then he's got to get it through Pilate. Because already the decision was taken. The council decision was taken on the day that Lazarus was raised from the grave. The whole council took counsel together to put him to death. Caiaphas was an astute man. He told the council, "Look, it's either him or us. Either you put him to death, or we are going to be destroyed by Rome. It's him or us." And you can know that, you know the decision. They take counsel to put him to death. That's in the background. But now, as the Lord is arrested, he's not taken to Caiaphas first, he's taken to Annas first. Because he's the man behind the powers in Jerusalem. And Annas has got to give the nod, got to give the okay. He's got to say yes. He's got to die. You see the purpose? And while Caiaphas is gathering the Sanhedrin, Annas is examining the Lord Jesus. No question of witnesses being called here, as in Caiaphas' trial. This is simply a personal, private examination, and Annas is hoping that the Lord will betray himself. And he asked him of his disciples, what's he want to do? He wants to measure his popularity. Can I afford to put this man to the cross? No question of righteousness or uprightness. It's can I politically act and put him to the cross? Can I do that? Many disciples have. Basically, that's the question. His popularity. Then he asks him of his doctrine, his philosophy. What are you teaching? What's your program? He's searching for a peg to hang a judgment on. And my Lord knows that exactly. He says, Annas, don't you know just what I have been preaching? Haven't you a full record through your secret service of my popularity? You know exactly. Nothing of this has been done in secret. You can call witness after witness after witness. They all can be called. And you are asking me, when Annas heard that, of course, he knew that there was no answer to that, that he was acting totally illegally. Why was he doing it? What was his purpose? In the temple, the Sadducees, which were the high priestly party, and they were controlling power. Annas was figure number one. Caiaphas was really subservient to Annas. And you know, they were making a fortune. Because in the temple, there was the money changers. They, when you came to give the shekel, the half shekel, the redemption money, that every Israelite had to pay, then you could not pay it with pagan coins, with the head of a god or a Caesar on it. You had to change your pagan money into shekel. They set up the tables to do that, the money changer. They made a fortune. Then if you brought a lamb as an offering or an animal, that animal had to be scrutinized by the priest. It had to be found perfect. And of course, if you brought an imperfect animal, imperfect in any way, then that was condemned. You couldn't offer it. And you had to go away again, bring another animal. But they solved that problem by providing those in the temple that would provide an animal that had already passed the priestly scrutineers. That animal has got the stamp on it, but of course you've got to pay more for it. That will be more expensive than normal. But most did that. It saved a lot of trouble. These money changers and animal sellers were they were known as Annas Bazaars. Those were his shops. He ran them. He took the profit from them, as the priest did. And Annas got a large cut. Can you see? When the Lord commenced his ministry, he moved into the temple to be the house of God. He moved in with a whip. He drove out the money changers. He threw over their table. He scattered the animals. He did it at the commencement of his ministry. And now this is the 14th of Nisan. you follow the steps of the Savior, very likely on the 10th of Nisan, in John chapter 2, he did it at the close of his ministry. And he dealt with that materialism of Annas and the high priest. And Annas hated him. Can you see his animosity bubbling up? Can't you see his antagonism? Can't you see how readily he would cooperate with the intention of the nation to put him to death? Of the leader. He was the leader. That's why he asked him. He asked him of his disciples and of his doctrine. And when the Lord answered as he did, Annas was discomforted. That's where we leave him, because an officer of the court smote the Lord on the face. Why answerest thou the high priest so? Do you dare to do that? This man was trying to help Annas in his moment of discomfiture. He was trying to relieve the pressure on the master. I've often thought, what will that man think throughout eternal ages? That this is the hand that smote the Savior. But yon moment, the discomfiture of an Annas. Because now the Lord is led to Pilate, led to Zacharias. That's why I drew attention to the mistranslation in the Authorized in verse 24. It's a simple verb. Annas sent him bound unto Caiaphas. He knew he couldn't get any more from him. With such dignity, the Lord had answered. Now he sends him bound unto Caiaphas. And that will introduce the next stage of the story, because an hour or two has ticked away. There's enough gathered in the Sanhedrin, just across the way. And enough have gathered now. And Caiaphas will take a seat. And they'll try to produce the charges that will allow the Sanhedrin to condemn him to death. That was the sentence they wanted. But Caiaphas will have to do something else. He'll have to keep in mind that this has got to satisfy Pilate. Our brother has drawn attention to the time element in these movements. He's drawn attention to Judas leaving that upper room sometime in the late hour. I don't know I can put any time on it, but maybe 9 to 10 o'clock in the evening. And then the Lord moves to the garden. And our brother has made a very worthwhile suggestion in that Judas went first to the upper room, I believe that. Then moved to the garden. And the arrest would take place around midnight. But you see, before Judas could lead the band, he had to collect the band. In other words, he had to go to see Caiaphas, number one. Before Caiaphas, and I'm suggesting this for your study, before Caiaphas could clear the matter and get the Roman band, he had to go to Pilate. There were movements through Jerusalem that night, that dark, dark night of human history. Judas to Caiaphas, Caiaphas to Pilate, back to give Judas the band, the arrest of the Savior, the movement to the high priest's palace, in before Annas. The hours have ticked away. The Sanhedrin is gathered. Now they will move to condemn him. And then they'll have the controversy with Pilate. We'll see why there was the controversy with Pilate. That's an interesting study. But now I leave Annas for a moment. In his discomfiture, and unfolded is the wickedness in the human heart. Now I turn to another sad story. A story that touches all our hearts. And I deal with the weakness of the human heart as reflected in Peter. And we see him in that same courtyard. We see him at that fire that the Lord must have looked upon. We see him in the midst of a company. When you put the Synoptic Gospels and John together, you get a picture. I'm going to say of repeated denials. I leave you to count them. I think there are more than three. Each gospel gives you three. Would you line them up, please? But a man there, standing and saying, I know not the man. Is this the man that the Lord said at Caesarea Philippi, spoke to in Caesarea Philippi, and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Blessed art thou. What had he done? An answer to that question of the Lord Jesus, that searching question, in connection with his person. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And you know the answer. This one, this one, this one. Whom do ye say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's a confession from the very heart of Peter, won by Christ himself. The Lord answered, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Then he goes on to say, thou art Peter. From Simon to Peter, the rock man. When he first met the Savior, the Lord said to Peter, thou shalt be called. Notice the future tense. Peter. Now that's been fulfilled as the rock man at Caesarea Philippi. Thou art Peter, rock, stone. Upon this rock, confession of his deity, his person, I will build my church. But now the rock man, something has happened. He's standing in that motley crowd. I don't know him. Feel for him, Saint. Put yourself there. I'll put myself there. Failure? Yes, there's failure. And we bow our hearts before it and wonder and maybe learn. How did it begin? Go right back to the upper room. Go back to that moment when they came into the upper room, those 12 disciples, John 13, took their place. And there's standing there a rebuke. There's a basin and a ewer, water in it, and a towel. And you can see Peter looking at it and saying, not me. Do you really think that I will take the servant's place and wash the feet of those men? Just been squabbling as to who would be the greatest. And what a rebuke it was to Peter.
when the Lord rises from the supper, takes off his outer garment, girds himself, the towel, pours water into the basin, and puts himself at Peter's feet. I don't go into that, but you get the picture. There's some resentment in Peter's heart. There comes the moment at the end of that, or near the end of the period, end of 13 anyway, when the Lord speaks of his going. And Peter says, Lord, I'm going too. I'll follow you. I'll follow you wherever you go. Thou canst not follow me now, Peter says. I'll die for you. I'll go as far as that. Do you think he would stand a few hours later and say, I know not the man? Resentment. And it's at that point that the Lord gives his remonstrance and says, Peter, I know better than you what's in your heart. Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. The lesson of the basin gives way to the lesson of the bird. Because the Lord is making preparation. Preparation for what? A recovery from a fall that hadn't yet taken place. He said, Satan has desired to have you, plural, the disciple. Peter, I have prayed for thee. Singular. My fellow saint, does the Lord look down tonight and say of you, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He's going to put you through the sin. But I prayed for thee. You feel the consolation, comfort. Follow Peter now. Resentment, remonstrance. We have heard of the incident of the sword. It's clear that Peter couldn't, naturally speaking, even handle the sword. Why did he slash at the man's head? Because that was the technique of the Roman army. There was a division in the helmet, and the sword had to be aimed at the very center of the helmet to split the helmet in two and split the head. Peter missed. Cut off his ear. Lord said, put up that sword. Put up that sword. Another step. Step one. Sleeping in the garden. Step two. Fighting the God. It's easy to see step three. It's running. He's running. Suddenly, the pressure becomes too much. Peter runs away. He runs with the others. See them running. Then he runs. Well, he runs anyway. Step by step. Could I put myself in there? Sleeping? Fighting? Running? The flesh? Active in every way? Oh, you say it's good that he followed, isn't it? And John, known to the high priestly family, that's an interesting study. How John had contacts with the house of Annas. It's very interesting that. At least he knew the gatekeeper, and she knew him. And he introduces Peter. Was that wrong of John? And the girl, the portress at the gate, says, you're one of his disciples. Wouldn't you have thought, in the brashness of our flesh, we would say, Peter, why didn't you say, I am?
She must have known John was. Why didn't you at least have that courage? He says, no, I'm not. Then you know the story. As he stands and then sits, and I suggest that standing while Annas is investigating, sits when Caiaphas takes the place. And then one of the company says, are you a Galilean? Speech betrayeth thee. You're one of him. I'm not. It's then I judge that the scene becomes a little confused as another man says, but I saw you in the garden. And others come in, and Peter would jump up from that place and say, I'm not, I'm not, I'm not. I suggest. What's he doing? He's denying his blessed Lord. But the Lord has laid foundations, even in this week at this moment, this week disciple. He's laid foundations. He's told them of the cock. Just as he makes this denial, the cock crow, the penny drop. Peter says, the Lord knew. Luke tells him that the Lord turned and looked upon him. His restoration begins. He went out, wept bitterly. We've been there. 'Tis the look that melted Peter. 'Tis the face that Stephen saw. 'Tis the heart that wept with Mary can alone from idols draw. Maybe tonight he looked down this audience. You see the speaker. He'd send a look into that soul of mine that will bring back a moment of denial. Maybe the tears will flow. The story will unfold. There'll be the story of running to the tomb and an empty tomb. There'll be the story, go tell his disciples and Peter. There'll be that private moment. He was seen of Cephas. That private moment alone with his risen Lord. The foundation's there. But we close it tonight. I trust in tears as we see how Satan can trick, how Satan can trap, how Satan can destroy. May the Lord bless his word.